Our first presenter is Megan McKinty, who will talk about a cost comparison of two mass vaccination campaigns against H1N1 influenza in New York City. Ms. McKinty is the Director of Continuity Planning at the New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene. She received a Master's in Public Health from the Johns Hopkins School of Public Health and a Public Health Master's in Business Administration from the Johns Hopkins Gary Business School.
Good afternoon. In 2009, the New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene conducted a multi-pronged program to deliver H1N1 influenza vaccine to New York City. I will talk about two prongs of that program. I'd like to begin by providing a little bit of background as it will help you understand the associated expenditures. The first campaign that we conducted was a school-located campaign in which we visited all public and some non-public elementary schools in New York City. In total, 1,232 schools with a collective enrollment of 570,000 students were visited. We vaccinated enrolled students who were older than 4 years at their school during school hours. In order to deliver a vaccine to respective enrollees for whom consent was obtained in advance, schools relied on one of three models. Small schools, which had less than 400 students, used an existing on-site nurse who was given 18 days to complete vaccination. Medium schools, which ranged from 400 to 600 students, were given a contract nurse to supplement the school nurse. This contract nurse was on-site for 3 to 4 days. And then the large schools, which were over 600 students, were visited by a team of multiple nurses and support staff from a variety of city agencies. In addition to the staff that was actually on site at school, field monitors rotated around the five boroughs of New York City to address any problems that occurred at schools, and the entire program was overseen by a command and control staff out of the Health Department headquarters. The second campaign was a point of dispensing campaign, or PODs as they're more commonly known. PODs are community-based mass vaccination clinics, and the Health Department held 58 PODs throughout the five boroughs of New York City over 10 weekend days. At PODs, middle and high school students, elementary school students who did not receive vaccination through the school program, and pregnant women were eligible for vaccination. And by the end of the program, we expanded eligibility criteria to allow anyone from the general public over the age of 4 to receive vaccination. Despite the potential value of these approaches, no studies to date have compared the resources required to conduct the two types of campaigns. So our objectives were to compare the total cost and the cost per dose for the school-located campaign versus the point of dispensing campaign. We also sought to assess the cost per dose at capacity or under optimal conditions. Immunization data for the school program was taken from the Citywide Immunization Registry, which is New York City's immunization information system. For the POD program, we got immunization data from individual site reports. And financial data was obtained from invoices, agency and city payroll and financial records, and in some cases, we estimated the costs of certain resources. Expenses were calculated in 2009-2010 U.S. dollars from the perspective of the Health Department, and it's important to note that we included the value of in-kind resources. So there were a lot of resources that were donated, including vaccine and labor. We included the value of these resources in our cost estimates. We identified five object classes, which included personnel, overhead, supplies and equipment, logistics, which is essentially transportation and storage, and lastly, support services such as advertising and fingerprinting. I want to focus just a little bit on the staffing because it's perhaps the most complicated part of the analysis. The majority of employees involved in the campaign were city employees, and we obtained the value of their labor from payroll records. In some cases, such as school principals, we didn't have payroll records, and so we estimated the cost of their labor using the average salary for their civil service title. We included the value of fringe benefits, which in New York City is 37.7%. And for PODs, which occurred on weekends, we also included the value of overtime. The second group of staff that were involved in these campaigns were contract nurses, and these costs were derived directly from invoices. And then lastly, the POD campaigns relied on volunteers, and so we estimated the value of volunteer labor by assigning a rate based on the task performed by the particular volunteer. Lastly, I want to talk just about overhead as it relates to personnel. We assigned overhead to the campaign using the agency annual per capita overhead rate, which is 32,618, and we multiplied this by the number of full-time equivalents used in each campaign to get the total overhead for each of the campaigns. Since turnout was low, we were interested in determining what cost per dose would have been under optimal conditions, and so we projected the capacity of each campaign. For the school-located campaign, we excluded any schools that did not have data in the citywide immunization registry. We excluded schools that used mixed models, so I referred to the school nurse versus the school nurse plus contract nurse versus the team. So any school that used a mixed model was excluded, and then we excluded any school that did not finish in its allotted time. We then determined the throughput for each model type, and we assumed that the 75th percentile represented the capacity of that model. We then recalculated the cost per dose in order to see what the cost per dose at capacity would be. Projected capacity for the pod program was a little bit simpler. There was a single pod that had a line throughout both days of operation, and we assumed this to mean that the pod operated at capacity. So we took the average number of doses administered at that site, which was 3,000. We multiplied it by the total number of pods, 58, to get the capacity of the pod program overall, and then we recalculated the cost per dose. The school-located campaign had over 2,500 city staff and 800 city school health nurses that contributed over 200,000 hours of labor. In addition to contract nurses worked on this campaign, and a total of 240,205 vaccinations were administered from the school-located campaign. In contrast, the pod campaign delivered 49,986 vaccinations, and it used 2,500 city staff and 200 volunteers who contributed over 65,000 hours of labor. And the pod campaign also relied on contract nurses. I'm going to show you over the next few slides a series of the breakdowns of costs. The personnel costs, as I mentioned a little bit, included planning staff, operational staff from both the health department and other city agencies, vaccinators, and then for pods, we had police, EMS, and volunteers. 58% of the costs for the school campaign were personnel costs, and 64% of the total costs for pods were personnel costs. Supplies and equipment included vaccine, ancillary supplies such as the syringe. For the school program, we had to buy refrigerators in order to store the vaccine. And other supplies and equipment included printed materials and food. And then for pods, we had to purchase or rent tables and chairs, and we also created a training video. So that falls under the miscellaneous category. Support services included translation, disposal of medical waste, IT services, fingerprinting and background investigation, advertising, and then we were charged an EMS fee for the pods. And for the fingerprinting and background investigation, that was done for the contract nurses in order to allow them to enter schools. So the school-located campaign cost a total of $17.6 million, of which $12.8 million were in-kind costs. In contrast, the pod campaign cost a total of $7.5 million, of which $3.5 million were in-kind costs. The cost per dose for the school-located campaign was $73 per dose, compared to a cost per dose for the pod campaign of $150. And when we looked at projected capacity, the cost per dose for the school campaign could have been reduced to $59 per dose, and pods could have been reduced to $50 per dose. And it's important to note, if you exclude the value of in-kind costs, the cost per dose for schools drops to $16, and the cost per dose for pods drops to $24 per dose. There are some limitations of each of the programs. Neither program targeted children that were under the age of 4. The majority of pod vaccine recipients were adults, and both programs had had costs that were higher than reimbursement rates. There are also some analytic limitations. The actual capacity of both programs is likely higher than what we estimated. Some of the costs, as I mentioned before, such as principals' salaries, had to be estimated. And we recognize that New York City is not necessarily representative of all jurisdictions. Lastly, this is a cost analysis and not a cost-benefit analysis, so we don't capture the benefits of either program here. I think it's worth considering why New York City Health Department costs might have been higher than other published costs. A recent paper in Hawaii cites that the cost per dose was $27 per dose, and that's significantly lower than our cost per dose even at capacity. So one thing is that these costs were incurred during an emergency, and it may be possible to procure certain services for less during non-emergency circumstances. Another reason is that New York City costs may be higher than other jurisdictions. It's possible that both salaries, overtime, and fringe rates are higher in New York City. And then it's possible that some services may not be necessary if these campaigns were conducted in other jurisdictions. So in New York City, one example of that is that we have to translate all materials for campaigns into multiple languages. I believe the materials for this campaign were translated into 9 languages. So it's possible if you conducted this elsewhere that you wouldn't incur that expense. I think most important is that costs that we included in this program, overhead planning costs, the time for school staff to obtain consents, and in-kind expenses are often overlooked in other cost estimates, and so that may be another reason why our costs are higher than in other jurisdictions. And lastly, neither of these programs are conducted on a routine basis, and so there was limited infrastructure to support them. So it's possible that after investing in infrastructure to support either program over time, you could reduce your costs. So we believe that the school-located campaign is worth continuation. It reached an especially large number of children. We also think that the school-located campaign and pods should be exercised routinely in order to improve emergency preparedness capability. It's important to note that costs, though, in both campaigns are higher than reimbursement rates, and it's unlikely that any health department can support either approach without additional funding. So next steps, I always think it's important to mention that. Based on the lessons learned in the 2009-2010 H1N1 work, we conducted a demonstration project in this current school year. We contracted with 2 nursing agencies to provide seasonal influenza in both public and non-public elementary schools. And unlike in the previous program, this was completely voluntary, so it wasn't mandatory that all public schools participate as it had been during H1N1. School principals elected, and then their schools would participate in the program, and it was, of course, voluntary for anyone to receive immunization. Anyone from kindergarten through the highest grade enrolled in the school was eligible for immunization, and we conducted robust evaluation, which is under analysis right now. I'd like to thank all the staff who provided data for this analysis, as well as the many people who participated in the H1N1 campaigns. If you're interested in hearing more about New York City's H1N1 work, there's a poster presentation tomorrow and 2 oral presentations